Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. But Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me.
Yes, he did.
And he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. And no one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Oh, how much.
Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes with me with new assurance.
Hallelujah.
More and more I understand his words of love.
Of course, son.
But I'll never know just why he came to save me.
Hallelujah.
Till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's no other friend so kind as he.
Hallelujah.
No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. No one ever cared for me.
If you feel
like
that way, stand
Jesus.
Up, would you?
Jesus,
there's
like
he's
no
the one
other friend so kind
loves you more than anybody in the world.
He.
So heartbreaking.
No one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Brother Danny, oh, how much.
Oh, how much he cares for me.
Now, would you thank him for saving you, what, sister?
Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. I'm getting me here, but I'm not getting you there. And I don't know what in the world would have done it. I've not changed anything. And just the enemy, I guess, don't want this great program on today. Wow. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I'm trying to figure out what somebody could have done, how somebody could have messed this up. Nobody's hearing me, I know that. And here I sit looking, Father, give me a miracle that I can finally answer. But I'm hearing me, so it isn't me. It isn't my phones. It's something that has to do with the system here. Something that has to do with the system. I don't know and I don't have to know how to say it. All I know how is the Greek phenigalin here was something that might turn me on, that might change the situation, that might reverse the situation. Well, I'm trying hard, I'm trying hard. Well, that was crazy. That certainly won't part of the problem. Well, I'm telling you, if that isn't insane, if that isn't insane, and I don't know a thing to do, I'm sitting here, it has to be in the back of my machine. It could not be anywhere else that I can imagine. I missed being with you last week, and here I am again this week. The phones are ringing off, and there's nothing to do. Nothing to do, nothing to do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I can tell you that for sure. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. And I'll play that song again and see if that will at least give you some knowledge of my being here. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I don't guess no music is coming through. I'm here. Is anybody hearing me? Is anybody hearing me? Let's see here. I'm turning knobs and trying to find what might be the right thing. That seemed to do some good, but it's too much noise. You're hearing me, aren't you? Oh, but you're not hearing me good. All right, I got that going. I'm on now. You're out there, and I'm here, and I'm on, but I've got too much noise, and I'll see if I get some of that cut down. I did. I made some progress with that. Now I'm on, and I'm broadcasting. I'm on, and I'm telecasting. I'm on, and you're hearing me, and I don't know what happened. But I know that I did find the answer, and that's a miracle. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, let's get to the program. Lost 2 or 3 minutes there, but I want to tell you, we've got a program today that I am most excited about. It's called Predestination. Predestination. Only in the New Testament 4 times, but it's a powerful word. And I want to tell you what it really means. I'm checking now to make sure that I've got things right. I guess I do. I got to some of the echo down. It had too much echo. So I got some of that down, and now it seems to be perfect. Well, it is perfect here. Is it perfect there? I sure hope it is. God bless you, Facebook. God bless you, Internet. God bless you, radio. I hope I'm everywhere I'm supposed to be, because I got a program that's dynamic, and I don't want it missed. Last week, we had a program. A problem wasn't mine. It came out in a Facebook page where we click in and become part of Facebook. So we got it on Internet. We got it on radio, but didn't get it on Facebook. I hope it's on Facebook right now. I don't know that. Yes, it looks like it is. It does say live. And I presume it's live and somebody's hearing me, because I'm getting responses, and here we are and here we go. And we're going to talk today about one of the greatest subjects I could talk to you about. The word predestination. Say that word with me. To predestinate, or predestination, or I have been predestinated. There's different usages of the word, but all meaning the same. It means that God has foreplanned your life. God has foreplanned your life. Now that is one more powerful statement. Every believer has before them from God a perfect plan for your life. Every believer that will submit. Now, you, God never takes you by storm and forces anything on you. You've got to be willing to be led of Him. You've got to be willing to do His will. And if you're not willing, I cut me down a little bit there. You've got to be willing to do His will. And God is not going to force you. God is not going to force you to do His will. But if you desire, and you will, and you surrender, you surrender. Let me read you a verse of scripture that says that about as good as it can be said. In the book of Matthew, there is this great statement that Jesus said. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow.
follow me. Now, did you hear that? And that's one of the great statements that leads into predestination. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, he makes it very plain here. If you will not do that, you cannot be saved. I mean, it's just impossible. If you will come after Jesus, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. You know, when I got saved 67 years ago, I heard that kind of preaching over and over. And I made that commitment of myself. I'm not been perfect in it. I'm not sitting here bragging on nothing, except to tell you that God helped me to do his will. God helped me to fulfill his calling on my life. And I'm telling you that it's been a wonderful life. I can't find nothing but glory about it. Now, forgive me again for those 2 or 3 minutes of difficulty there, but we did find the answer, and it was my fault. I remember this week having to go get some equipment, and I was working with some buttons, and I got a button out of commission, out of focus, and so it's back. Now, we're talking about predestination. We're talking about a life that's laid out before God, and that God has a plan for your life. Now, listen to me. Listen to me carefully. When you talk about being predestinated, you're talking about, actually the Calvinists have pretty much hijacked that word, and most of us in the evangelical world don't even use it, because it got hijacked and taken out of focus, as Calvinists have done with many words. And when you bring it into focus, it becomes a beautiful truth of the Bible. It becomes a blessed truth of the Bible, that God did not save you to turn you back loose to do what you please, but he saved you to make a child of the King out of you. He saved you to make a child of the Father out of you. He saved you to plant you in his church, to plant you in his kingdom, to plant you in his service, and to make your life the most beautiful life it is possible for any man to have, a life within the will of God, within the plan of God. He even plans a husband and a wife for you. I mean, if God ever gave a man a wife, he gave me Juanita. I believe if God ever gave a woman a husband, he gave Juanita Joseph. We had that kind of relationship, and it never faded. It never faded an iota. It was right there through thick and thin. We belonged to each other, because God had placed us together. And that's how he means for your whole life to be. Every church I pastored, I felt myself in the perfect will of God. Every hour of my ministry, I felt myself in the will of God. Now, there's been variations, and there's been times I wasn't up to what I should have been. I do not count myself to have apprehended that for which I was apprehended. But this one thing, and these are Paul's words, one thing I do. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in Philippians 3, and that's part of this very subject. Predestinated means I'm in God's plan. I'm in God's divine order for me. I'm where God put me. I'm where God set me up. I'm where God ordained me to be. I'm doing what God called me to do. I'm doing what it pleased God for me to do. And that's what predestination is. It is being in the will of God, having the blessing of God, seeking God's will in everything you say and do. Don't even buy a car without praying and getting God's will. The worst mistakes ever made financially was buying automobiles without waiting and hearing from God. You say, Brother Chambers, God's not. Don't tell me. God's involved in everything of your life, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's the Bible, you know. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And that's predestination. That's what I'm talking about. And I wanted to get in you. If I could get everybody listening to me, and would you help me get some more listeners? Share this with everybody you have on your Facebook list, will you? And call the friends you have in the radio audience, and call the friends you have on the internet, and get people listening to this great truth, because it's heavenly. It's beyond measure. I have lived in it all week this week. It was one of my points in my sermon that I preached last Sunday morning. If you heard it, it finally got on the air Thursday. And one of the points was, God has predestinated you. You're not out there on the dead end track. You're not out there going nowhere. You're not out there just doing things that have no mind or thought to them. You have been saved, and you've been sanctified, and you've been set apart, and you belong to Jesus, and you don't have a right to do your own will and your own things. You are to do His will and His things, and if you will, your life will mushroom, and it will grow, and it will explode in value and beauty. You know what Psalmist David said in Psalms 1, 2, and 3? To the man, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Notice that, in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I'm talking about predestination. I don't know where God has put you in the center of His will. If you're not there, get on your prayer bones and stay there until God shows you His will. My sheep know my voice, He said in John 10. My sheep know my voice. Do you know the voice of the Lord? Do you know the voice of the Lord? If you don't, you better learn it in this hour we're living in. This is the Antichrist hour. We're getting ready for the great tribulation, and this hour is dark, and you better find the will of God. Now, let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans. Now, I want you to sit down and listen. This program is not a shouting program, although you'll shout when it's over if you do what the Bible says to do, and you put yourself in God's perfect plan and become a predestinated person. I am predestinated. I would not dare live in no other place. My life would be a wreck. Apostle Paul made that plain. Remember what he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, when he said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, so that when I preach to others, I shall not be a castaway. I shall not be a castaway. Apostle Paul kept under his body, brought it into subjection, keep it in the middle and in the instant of God's will. Oh, my friends, it is wonderful to be in God's will. It is wonderful. If you're predestinated and you've accepted it and you're doing the will of God, you are a predestinated believer. You're on your way to heaven, and nobody can stop you. Nothing. Did you know nothing can stop a truly predestinated believer? Did you know that? A predestinated believer. And that's living in it, not just being predestinated by Him, but obeying Him and doing His will and seeking His mind. And nobody can stop you. Nobody can stop you. Shall not the Lord avenge His elect that cry day and night unto Him? Luke chapter 18. Shall not the Lord avenge His elect? He'll fight your battles for you. He'll defeat your enemies for you. He'll turn the tide on the darkness of the world around you. He'll stop people doing their best to stop you, and He'll stop them. Now listen, we got to get to this. It is so important. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because it maketh intercession for the saints according to His purpose. He maketh intercession for His called according to His purpose. And we know. Now listen, you got to hear this. And we know that all things work together for good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that love God, and to them who are called according to His purpose. To them that love God, and to them who are called according to His purpose. That's His predestinated purpose. That's His will for you. You're in the middle of it. You love God. You're doing God's will. All things work together for good according to them that love God. When things go wrong, turn them over to God. Put them in His hand. And count His truth to be your stronghold and your hope that all things work together for good concerning them that love Him and do His will. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. To whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. He did predestinate. Can you believe that? for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be conformed to the image, making Jesus real in you, making Christ a picture of you and you a picture of Christ, effecting the very nature of Jesus in your very nature until you become a born-again believer walking in the light of God's love. It's so beautiful that you might be conformed to the image of his Son. Conformed to the image of his Son. Oh friend, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Now listen, another time, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. He called them, and them whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. I mean, that's the life of a predestinated believer. They are justified, they are sanctified, they are glorified, they live in the light, and people can see Christ in them. He can see Jesus in your face. He can see Jesus in your conduct. They can see Jesus in all your life because you've been predestinated according to the image of his will. And you've been brought into this family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't belong to yourself any longer. You belong to Christ. Now, friend, I'm giving you old-fashioned truth that was taught by the Methodists. The Baptists used to teach people, don't quit praying until you know you've found the will of God in your life. Find the purpose until you come under. They call it coming under his lordship. Seek the lordship of your life. Don't just get saved. The Baptists used to tell people, seek the lordship of Christ. The Methodist said, don't just get saved. Get in that altar and stay till you get sanctified, until your old man is crucified and the nature of sin is put to silence and put to the prison house, and live then in that sanctified life. And he calls it glorified, just a life shining with the light of Christ. A life shining with the image of Jesus Christ. Now, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. He put a glory upon you. He put a glory in your life. Hey, friends, anybody out there want to know the predestinated life? Do you want to know that kind of life? Do you want to know a life that you're in the center of his will? That you actually know his voice, that you listen to his voice, that you do the things that please him to do. You know, we used to tell people all the time, if he is not Lord of all, I get my words tangled sometimes. If he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Now, I want you to notice that. That's a true statement. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. See, he can't be the Lord if he's not the Lord. The Lord means he's in charge of your life. You're under his divine scrutiny. He's guiding you. He's directing you. He's proving you. That's what it means to be born again. To be born again is not just to be saved from hell. Most people just want fire insurance. That's all they want. They want to go to church and get some fire insurance and make sure I'm not going to hell, that I'm going to heaven. And then they live like they please and they're not even saved at all. When you get saved, you get born again. He predestinates you. He chooses you to live according to his will, to do the things that are honorable before the Lord. And when you do, you find wonderful life. You really do. You find wonderful life. Now, don't want to stop there. I want to take you to some other great passages that will affect your life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to talk about this because this is part of what it means to be predestinated. You are predestinated to do the will of God. And God has a plan for that whole way. He knows if you're called to be a preacher, he has exactly the place where you ought to be preaching. If he knows you're called to be an evangelist, he'll supply the revivals. You won't need to start calling and try to get preachers to let you come preach for them. Anytime a preacher has got a call to find somebody to let him preach, it's because he's not in the will of God. He's not predestinated. He's not doing what God's called him to do. Because when you do what God's called you to do, he makes the way. He sets the path. He makes the plan. He sends the invitation to preach. He sends the invitation to be a pastor. He sends the invitation for your life. And if you're a singer, the same thing. Whatever you do for God, you be led by the Holy Spirit. And don't go out there and try to chart your own course. And don't go out there. I'm so bothered when preachers call me and want to come preach for me. I know better than to say okay, because if they were in the will of God and they were supposed to preach at Paul Creek, the Lord would speak to this pastor and I would call them. They wouldn't need to call me. And anytime a preacher's got to call people to find a place to preach, it's because he's not in the will of God. It's because he's just frustrated and flopping around and trying to find a way to do what he says that God wants him to do. Now, I'm not into that. I don't believe in that. And I hope you don't believe in that, because I'm telling you, it's not the way to live your Christian life. Now, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 will start. Though we walk in the Spirit, listen to this, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, that's a great statement to start with. We walk in the flesh. Our daily life is in the flesh. I have to eat in the flesh. I have to sleep in the flesh. I have to mow the yard in the flesh. I was on the lawnmower yesterday here at the church and at my house, and I like it. I enjoy the old zero-turn lawnmower. I can zip around in it, and it's very enjoyable, very enjoyable. And I do that in the flesh. But then he says, we do not war after the flesh. The spiritual life is not lived after the flesh. The carnal life, the natural life, I should call it, the natural life is lived after the flesh. But the spiritual life is lived after the Spirit. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, this is the Christian life, the Holy Ghost-filled life. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now notice, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, you're talking about a picture of a person living in the predestinated spiritual walk and the spiritual life. That is as beautiful as it can be. Casting down imaginations. This old noggin of mine and yours can have some of the most impure thoughts come through it. I mean, like I heard a preacher say years ago, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. And that's the same way with imaginations. You can't stop them from coming past you, but you can put an end to them in the name of Jesus and by the blood, and you can stop those imaginations from becoming part of your thought life and of your devotional life, casting down imaginations at every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ. Do you know how many things around us that exalt things that have nothing to do with Jesus? Do you know how often there are temptations, there are people saying ugly things, there are people who act in crude ways? There's always these things around us that are not pure. And so the Bible says we cast down these imaginations, these high things, he calls them, that come against the knowledge of Christ. Notice how he says that. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, the predestinated life is allowing God to think his thoughts in you. Allowing God to fill you with his dreams and his desires. Allowing God to direct your pathway, where you work, what you do with your money. Faithful with your time when you have days off. You don't dream up some careless thing that has nothing but pleasure in it. You yield that over to the Lord. And God helps you have things to do that are beautiful and spiritual and marvelous. I'm telling you, this Christian life is strict. It really is, but it's not strict by some rule I give you. It has to be strict by your relationship with the Lord. The only way to live a real godly life is under the Lordship of Christ. Not me telling you what to do and not to do, but the Holy Spirit in you. He said, my sheep know my voice. Do you know his voice? If you don't know his voice, you're not a sheep. At least you're not a very mature one. You may have just entered in. You may have just given your life to Christ. But now you got to seek to know the mind of the Lord. Casting down imaginations. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, you cast it down. You stop it. And the Holy Spirit then will enable you to put it out of your life. He'll enable you to be clean from it. He'll enable you to be sanctified of it. He'll set you free of its power. He will set you free. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. Are you listening to me? Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You don't want stuff up here going around in your head that is not pure, that is not holy, that doesn't magnify the God of your life, that doesn't keep you on the straight and narrow way, the straight and narrow path. Now, I know this is pretty strict Bible truth. But this is where you must live if you really want to serve the Lord. Jesus said it. I read it to you from Matthew chapter 16. He said, except you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. The Lord said that. Joe Chambers did not say that for him. He said that for himself. And I simply quote what he said. Deny yourself, take up your cross. The cross is the life he's given you to live. The cross is the way he's directed your path. The cross is where he's put you in the labor, where he's put you in the service of the Lord. Oh, I love that. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When you obey him, you can then defeat all disobedience. That's what he said. When you obey the Lord, you walk with him, he will enable you, he will strengthen you to defeat those things that do not please God, that does not bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord. Now, I'm talking about the word predestination. It's in the Bible four times. It's in the Bible four times. I like this time over in Ephesus when he gives us this word. Let me see if I can find that right quick for us and read it to you. Okay? Very, very important. Very. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Did you hear that? See, until you come under that predestination of the Lord, you don't have an inheritance in him. Having obtained an inheritance through predestination according to the purpose of him who calleth us, who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. According to him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. That's the Holy Spirit. See, God gave you the Holy Spirit the moment you were saved. Oh, Brother Chambers, aren't you a Pentecostal? Yes, I'm a Pentecostal. And I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when you get saved, you have all of him. But when you get full of the Holy Ghost, he has all of you. And that's a process in between that time when you have all of him and that time when he has all of you. That all of you is when you're sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. That time when you have all of him is when you're truly born again. And according to his purpose that works in you, according to his purpose that works in you, you have an inheritance through predestination. You're predestinated into an inheritance. I want you to look at this old man who has very little money in the bank, who doesn't even worry and care whether he has any money in the bank or not. My house is paid for. My car is paid for. I've been careful with all of that. I paid my tithes and give way beyond my tithes through all these years of the work of the Lord with all my heart, joyfully. And I want to tell you right now, I don't need to worry about my tomorrow. I don't need to worry about what's at the end of the road. I'm looking forward to what I'm going to have when I get over there. I've been sending my things over there. So that when I die, I get my inheritance. I don't want it here. I could care less for it. I want it over there. I tell you, you'll have an inheritance over there if you'll live right down here. It ain't going to fail. I promise you, it just is not going to fail, my dear brothers and sisters. I like that verse, don't you? Isn't that beautiful? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his right hand in the heavenly place. Hallelujah. For we are his workmanship. Listen, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God did before ordain to be in us. Now, friends, that life is a life so rich and so sweet and so wonderful, having predestinated us according to as children, according to the good pleasures of his will, having predestinated us as children, according to the good pleasures of his will. Do you want that kind of life? It is so wonderful. Oh, it is so precious to know you're right in the middle of God's will, that you're doing exactly what God has called you to do. Now, you can't do that in you until you get sure that you give your will up and turned it over to him. You've got to put your life in his hands. You've got to give up that old selfish self. I get so tired of hearing people who are so selfish. You try to tell them anything and their face turns red. They don't want you telling them nothing. They'll do what they want to do, like they please to do. Ain't nobody telling me nothing. Isn't that sad? I'm telling you, that's sad. That's sad. I see it a lot. I'm telling you. Now go. Go with me back to 1 Corinthians. We got a passage there that you just got to get a hold of. I hope you're listening. I really do. I hope you are listening. If you're not, you know, I can't do anything about it. But I want to tell you that living in the will of God is the most wonderful life in the world. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and let's look at some truth there that will really change your life. I'm telling you, this will change your life. You get in the middle of 1 Corinthians 5 and I promise you it'll change your life. Purify, purge out therefore the old man. Well, purge out therefore the old man. When you get the old man purged out, now notice that, purge out therefore the old man, that you may be a new man, that you may be a new man. A new lump, he says there. I was trying to get that word and I was missing it. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with unleavened bread or old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth. Oh, my friend, listen to me. This life is so beautiful. It is indescribable. It is outstanding. I love to think about the beautiful new life and all the joys it brings, all the peace it brings. Now, go into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's where I really meant to go then. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to notice some things. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. And all things are of God, which have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. Hey, friend, this life is so exciting that I hardly know how to describe it. I'm sitting here thinking of the Christian life. See, I've been saved 67 years and about 6 months, and it gets sweeter. I'm getting older. I don't read as good. I can't see things quite up to the same level. But the truth is in this heart of mine and bringing it to you. It's my basic passionate desire so that I might help you live in this walk of Christ with an utter devotion and an utter transformation and a total abandonment, that you might become truly a life lived in the predestination of our Lord Jesus Christ. Predestinated, set apart, belonging to Him. I'm His and He is mine. Notice that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath created us, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Hey, friends, God has reconciled us to himself. We no longer belong to Joe Chambers and Jerry Babb or Juanita Ballard or whatever your name might be. You belong to Christ. He is your life. You are living in Him. You've been predestinated. You don't plan your things that you're going to do. You seek the mind of God. And then with God revealing to you, then you plan. You let God lead you. The Bible says, don't even say, I'm going to town next Saturday, unless you say, if God will. If God will. I seek God's will in everything. The last car I bought, I prayed earnestly considerable time. And when I got the leadership of God, I went and bought. And now I've had it 7 years. It still seems like a new car to me. It's got 115,000 on it. And it's just running like just wonderful. I'm telling you, listen to me. You get the will of God in everything you do. That's what this whole word of predestination means. It means God has planned your life. And you seek that plan. You wait on that plan. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's in the book of Isaiah 40. The book of Isaiah 40. They that wait upon the Lord. You say, I want God's will. Will He give it to me in the next 15 minutes? Probably not. Maybe not even the next 15 days. But He'll give it to you at the right time, at the right moment, and the right satisfaction. And when He gives you His will and He directs you, then you will have a life worth living. That's predestination. Young men, please don't go choose a beautiful lady that's so lovely and so, I mean, she just tickles your very being when you look at her and you know, oh, yes. But wait on God. Make sure that what you're seeing is not what you're getting, or what you're getting maybe is not what you're seeing. You got to seek the mind of God, and He is ready to reveal His will to you. The marriages that have been on the rocks and have brought so much sorrow to so many lives have often been the result of not seeking the mind of God, acting, immaturely, acting too early, and not waiting for the mind of God. There's so many things that make up our life. There's so many things that are part of our life, and we must seek the mind of God. Now, go with me to Hebrews 10. I've got so many passages I want to help you grab today. We'll then go to Ephesians and find some more great truth that will change your life. These truths are where you're supposed to be living. See, if you're a Christian, you live in the Bible. If you're a real Christian, you live in the Bible. You seek the Bible day by day. You seek the will of God. How many times have I had a prayer on my heart and had a question in my mind and didn't know how to find the answer? And suddenly, as I waited on the Lord, I'd pick up the Bible and it would open to a passage of Scripture. And I would read and say, thank you, Lord. I've been looking for that answer. Thank you for sending me that answer today. And I've heard that so many times through the years. Oh, Brother Chambers, that's baloney. No, it isn't baloney. The will of God. God is the master of everything. He controls the secular world. He controls the spiritual world. He controls it all. Oh, I know He's given certain limitations and certain things that the devil has a right to do, but nothing past the will of God. The devil cannot walk over the bloodline, for instance. He cannot walk over that bloodline. I'll never forget a dream I had. I was pastoring up at Black Mountain many years ago. I left there in 68, so you know how long it's been. And I had a dream, and it just really overwhelmed me. I was on a highway and going down the road, and a snake got after me. And that snake was chasing me in an inch of my life. And I'm running for my safety. And the snake's right behind me. And I see a line down the road. And I see that line as being my safety line. And so I ran and jumped over that line. And the moment I did, that snake went in a hole on the other side of that line. And I said, "Lord, what in the world are you telling me?" And he said, "I'm telling you that the devil cannot cross the bloodline. The devil cannot cross the bloodline. So if I live behind the blood of Jesus, the devil cannot cross the bloodline." So the thing that I'm saying, predestination, is being predestinated by the grace of God, washed in the blood, saved by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and then living within that blood. I claim the blood every day of my life. I was in the hospital day before yesterday, and there lay a lady by the name of Sylvia Beasley. She's had major surgery, and so she's wrestling now to bring her way back from surgery. She's over 70, and so it's a very serious, I won't go into details, but very serious. And I went over and we prayed a little bit, and I said, "Sylvia, let's call on the blood." And so I led her in several statements. Let's claim the blood over my soul. Let's claim the blood over my body. Let's claim the blood over my mind. Let's claim the blood over all the things that come against me. And she did it as we moved along. And then I said, "Now I'm leaving, but I want you to keep mentioning the blood of Jesus and hide behind that blood. Claim that blood as your victory. And if you'll do that, Sylvia, that will be your victory." And I believe that with all my heart. We should live in the blood of Jesus Christ. I can take you books of Presbyterians who preach that. I can take you to books of Methodists who preach that. It's just old-fashioned truth that you live under the sacrifice of the blood. You live in the strength and the power of the blood. Now, let me take you to the Bible and make sure you understand that what I'm saying is in the Bible. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Talking about prayer. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Oh, listen to that. A daily life. This is Paul in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19, Apostle Paul talking to the Hebrew Christians about living the Christian life. And he said, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest," that's the place of prayer, a place of communion with God, "by the blood of Jesus, which he," listen now, "by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, his flesh. Now let's take that verse. Listen to me. Please listen to me. I care about your soul. I don't want you to be left here for the tribulation. I don't want you to be lost and spend eternity in hell. All week I've been weeping over the multitude that are falling into hell every hour of the day. Every moment, people by the numbers, incredible numbers, are dying, unprepared to meet God, and passing right into the borders of hellfire and all the judgments, and they'll be there for eternity. Does that not make you hurt inside? It makes me throb inside to think of the people who are lost and they're being damned. So he said, "By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, through his flesh, his sacrifice, his shed blood, his willingness to go for you and become your sacrifice, and having an high priest over the house of God. See, Jesus has saved us by the blood. Jesus sanctifies us by the blood. Jesus keeps us every day by the blood. Jesus helps us go into the chambers of prayer by the blood, a new and living way, which is consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And now we have a high priest over the house of God. Jesus is in heaven at the Father's right hand, and his purpose there is to be your high priest and to plead your cause for you. I like 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Says, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the righteousness, who is our propitiation for our sins. He is our mercy seat, in other words, for our sins. And so if you as a believer have a day in which you sin and you know you've erred, don't just live in that and don't just take it for granted. You go somewhere and get on your face and you turn from that. You make it plain with God, that's not going to happen again. I'm going to live clean. I'll repent of it. And then you let Him be your mercy seat, and He redeems you. He forgives you of what you did that you should not have done. Have you ever done that, Reverend Chambers? Ooh, have I ever done that? You better believe I've done it quite a few times in 67 years. He's my propitiation. Notice that word, another great word. That means mercy seat. He's my mercy seat. Oh, I love this. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw nigh. Listen now, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the pure word of God. Our bodies washed with pure water, the Bible. Now, friend, here is a picture of the believer living under the blood, a believer who has been given a propitiation, a believer who is now living a predestinated life, a predestinated life. God has planned their life. God has planned their walk. If they err a little bit, they repent and go back to the road. You know, when you're going down the road and you get off on the wrong road, you don't just keep going. You turn around and go back and get to the right road. That's what you need to do with your life. Go back and get on the right road. Get on the road of His will for your life. He called you to preach. Get yourself ready to preach. I get amazed at people today. They don't, can I go preach? Yes. Where can I get me a parsonage? And where can I have a good salary? You know, when I started preaching 67 years ago, you went on nothing. You went on nothing and gave yourself to preach. And you trusted God for the difference. And do you know something? He never let us down. He never forsook us. I'm not kidding you. He was there every step of the way. Every hardship was good for us. Every time we had to trust God, it was wonderful because we were predestinated. And we knew that. I remember being appointed to a church, and some brother asked me, where are you going, Brother Chambers? It's assembly time. It's church change time. Where are you going? I said, the state overseer has sent me to Black Mountain. Oh, he said, you would to God you've never seen that place. I said, wait a minute, brother. There's nothing there that God and me together can't handle. There's nothing there. And that was my words. God and me can't handle. I made sure God was at the head of that. And I was just a little boy following on His heels and doing what He said. And that's the way we ought to live our life. This is as wonderful. I cannot tell you anything more genuine than what Brother Chambers is talking to you about today. Now, I know we had a kind of a rough beginning with a problem, and that kind of unnerved me a little bit, but I hope I'm back on progress, and I'm bringing you what you need today. You must understand that God has a plan for you, and if you are saved, if you are elected, then you are predestinated. That means God has a will for you, and if you don't do it, you will lose out somewhere along the way and spend eternity in a backslid, lost condition. And I'm here to tell you, you don't do God's will and live this predestinated life that God's laid out for you. You cannot follow Him. The Bible makes it plain, except you deny yourself and take up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus said that. Brother Chambers didn't say that. Jesus said that. I'm telling you, that is in Matthew 16 and 24. I want you to go read it, Matthew 16 and 24. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross, and you've got to follow Him, or you cannot be a Christian. It's just that simple. You say, oh, man. No, I'm not making it hard. I'm making it wonderful. I'm showing you the way you can overcome yourself. I'm showing you the way you can get above the dark pathway this world will pave in front of you. Do you know what sin leads to? Do you know where sin will eventually lead you up at, even in this life, before you die and go to hell? living in this life without Christ is not a good life, is not a worthwhile life. It is miserable. Why are people on drugs? Why are people on all kinds of pills? Why are people doing everything they can to get a little bit of peace and a little bit of comfort and to find a little bit of pleasure? It's because they don't have it inside of them. They're not living a predestinated life. They're living a life under their own scrutiny, under their own choices, under their own opinion. And I'm calling you to Christ. I'm calling you to Christ. Now, I'm going to end up in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. I want you to go there with me. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. These things are so good. These things are so good, and they are so wonderful. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 17. Listen to this now. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by the Spirit unto the Father. Through Christ we have access to the Father. I can come to God the Father in the name of Jesus any time of the day, any time of the night. There's no limitations. Every time this man who is living in the predestinated will of God, who's right where God put him, right where God wants me, not moving, not bulging, just staying in the middle of God's will, I'm predestinated to do that will. What do I do when I need him? I come to the Father in Jesus' name. Having access, that word means entrance. Have an entrance into the Father through Jesus Christ. Have an entrance into the Father by the Holy Spirit. Listen now. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're no more strangers. We're no more foreigners. Listen, I'm not a stranger to God. I'm his son. I'm his son. I love what Job said. I tell you, Job was a great writer. Job said, what is man that thou dost magnify him, that thou dost set thine heart upon him, that thou visitest him every morning and tries him every moment? That's in Job chapter 7, if you want to go read it. Beautiful passage. What is man that thou dost magnify him, that thou dost set thine heart upon him? You know the kind of man that God sets his heart upon? The man who's living the predestinated life. The man who's doing exactly the will that God has planned for him. The man who's denied himself, gave his all to Christ, took up the cross, and now he's following the Lord. That man, God has set his heart on. You say, Brother Chambers, you think God has his heart set on you? I sure do. I know he does. I come here and meet him every morning. If I'm out to 6 o'clock when I get to this church, which is not very often, I apologize. I repent when I come in the door. God, you already here because you promised me you'd meet me every morning. And so I apologize for being late. I overslept, you know. I actually do that. I say those words, yes, because I have an appointment with God. He said it. Job 7, let me quote it again. Who is man that thou shouldest magnify him? And who is man, he says of God now, that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, that thou shouldest meet him every morning and try him every moment? God tries me. I tell God, don't you let me get away with nothing. God, you put your hand over me. You discipline me. You chasten me. You wear my hide out if I miss the way in a little bit. You see, we are flesh. We're not some glorified creatures. We are flesh. We still have a body. We still have a soul and a spirit. We still have to make decisions of sacrifice and surrender and devotion. He doesn't do that for us. He doesn't do it for us. He gives us his will and then he tells us to do it. Do and go the way I'm telling you to go. Do my will and I will take care of you and I'll watch over you and I'll meet your need and I'll supply your needs and you'll never go hungry. David said, I'm old, yet was I young, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Go back if you would to Romans 8 and 28 and notice what he said. All things work together according to the will of God for them that love him and for them who are called according to his purpose. Notice he said, a call according to his purpose. For them, all things work together according to his will. You know why your life's a mess? Because you're not in the will of God. You know why your life is such a bore and you're so unhappy? You know why everything's going wrong? It's because you're on the wrong path. Get in God's way. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to the Lord Jesus. Get rid of sin. The blood will wash it away, and the blood will make you holy every day of the rest of your life and help you. If you fail, you just simply repent. If you fail, you simply repent. I mean, living this life is a wonderful life. And I need to read on here. So much good here. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and pilgrims, strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. A fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. I'm part of God's household. How about you? I'm part of God's family. How about you? You can be. The blood will do it for you right now. Right now. I mean, his blood is mighty. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So you got to build on this. You got to build on this, not my opinion, on the Bible. I have no theological opinion of my own. I've never joined the Baptistic crowd. I've never joined the Pentecostal crowd. I've never joined the Charismatic crowd. I've never joined the Wesleyan crowd. I've never joined the Calvinist crowd. I just joined the Bible crowd. The thing that confuses so many people is they're in a system of doctrine because they're Baptistic or they're Calvinistic or they are charismatic. The Charismatics created the most horrible theology crowd that there's ever been. I mean, nothing but just an endless list of jargons and sorrows. It's sad to see many of their theologies. Let me tell you one that I learned about recently. You know, claim it, name it, claim it crowd. Name what you want to and claim it, it's yours. That is so contrary to the Bible. See, my faith is not in me and what I can believe. My faith is in Jesus and what he can believe. My faith is in the Christ. My faith is in the Christ. My faith is in the risen Lord. I live for him. And I built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And whom also we are built, fitly framed together, we're growing into a holy temple of the Lord. Every day after 67 years, I'm still making a little progress to be in a holy temple of the Lord. I'm not there. I count not myself to have apprehended, said Paul, that for which I was apprehended. But this thing, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ our Lord. Could we use that as a closing point today? Would you help me? Would you join with me? And let's use that great statement in Paul's writing to the Philippians. Get the right word here, the Philippians. Where he said, I'm not apprehended, that for which I was apprehended. I'm not reached my goal. I've not been everything I was called to be. I've not acquired to everything God had predestinated me to be. But one thing I do, Paul said this now, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Could I get hundreds of you, even thousands all over the world, to say with me right now, I am dedicating myself to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ my Lord. I'm pressing toward the mark. I got to go. I got to go. I'm pressing toward the mark. I am determined by the grace of God to reach that goal, to reach that place. In Christ Jesus, my Lord, I want to be his. I hit the wrong thing there, and I'm trying to get this song in. Well, let's just play some of this song that's there. We won't worry about it. What do you say? In the name of the Lord Jesus, that he might be glorified. I want Christ glorified above everything. God bless you. I love you. It's been a joy to be with you today. It really has. Pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you pressing?
In this grace, this hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Woo, good one.
Are you washed in the blood, in the soul? cross.